you have your scriptures, we'll turn to the book of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 6 this morning. We'll be looking through verses 1 through 11. We use one of the pew Bibles around you. I believe it's page 861. Most of you are probably somewhat familiar with the Ten Commandments, and if maybe you've realized it or not, the first four have to do with our relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, God says. You shouldn't make any graven images. You shouldn't take my name in vain. And the fourth one, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And as you think about that commandment, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, I'm not sure what comes to your mind when you think of this idea, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Maybe for some it's a commandment you just simply ignore and you just go about your day like any other day. There's no really drastic difference in your life. Perhaps you're on another extreme where you hear the commandment, you consider the commandment, but you're not sure and even concerned and worried. What am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do on this day that God calls me to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy? For others, it may be hard, it may be confusing, it may be vexing because it's a day to rest. But if you have children, or if you're caring for others in your household, it seems impossible at times to find time to rest. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We want to look at some of the positive aspects of this commandment. We're not going to look at everything in detail, but I want us to consider the positive aspects of this commandment. As you see in your sermon notes, the theme that Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, he offers you refreshment and renewal on his day of rest. Sabbath was made for man, Jesus would say, not man for Sabbath. It was meant for man's good, and we neglect it to our detriment. This day is not to be a day of burden, of heaped on guilt, wondering what we can and cannot do. We consider that, but it's not supposed to be so paralyzing of what we do where we just have this guilt all the time. It's a day that God gave to his people to bless. It's a day to be set apart. It's supposed to be a day unlike any other day. It's a holy day, a day to honor God by resting from our ordinary work and exalting and resting in God's work. We stop our work and we rest in God, our Creator, our Redeemer. It's a day to worship. It's a day to be renewed and to renew others with acts of mercy. When God made this day, he could have said, I want this day set apart, and I want you to honor me, and here's 25 or 50 things to do. And he says, don't work. Rest and honor me. It's, as Calvin would say, it's a testimony to the world where we set aside all of our normal, ordinary labors, and we come and we rest in the one and his grace who gives us forgiveness and hopes of eternal life. That's what we're going to look at this morning, the positive aspects of this idea of the Sabbath. Let me pray, and we'll read through our text. Father, Lord, we pray for wisdom, we pray for guidance, and Lord, as we look at all of your commandments, we know we miss the mark many, many times. We don't even get close to what you call us to do. But here we see in Christ's teaching some of the positive aspects of why the Sabbath was given to your people. May we not neglect it. May we see it as a blessing, a day that's different, so different than anything else the rest of the week that we long for it, that we look forward to it, that we see it as a taste of the glories to come. As imperfect as they are, we know our worship is far from perfect of what's to come. But Lord Jesus, we know you present them to your Father spotless. And so we long for that day of full rest, done with sin, done with death, done with disease. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word, that you would guide us and teach us by your Spirit to help us to understand and to put these things into action. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Luke 6, 1 through 11. On a Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and he and those who were with him? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he also gave it to those with him. He said to them, 'The Son of Man, who is Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath.' And on another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts. He said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come, stand here.' And he rose and he stood there. Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or destroy it?' And after looking around at them and all, he said to them, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." This ends the reading of God's word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we begin with point one in our sermon notes, that what is the Sabbath, and what does it mean that Jesus is the Lord of it? As he says in verse 5, he says, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Well, the Sabbath was a creation ordinance. It was instituted from the very beginning, after God created the world in a span of 6 days and made it all very good. He rested, not that he was tired, but it was a time for him just to take a step back and just be in awe of what he did, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was a day set apart that he set apart himself. It says in verse 3 of Genesis 2, God blessed the seventh day. He blessed it. It's unique. It's different. He made it holy because on it God rested from all his work he had done in creation. So God, from the very beginning, set up a pattern for mankind to follow. Mankind is created in God's image and we're to reflect his character. So he sets up this calendar of 1 and 7. We experience it right now. Our calendar is based off 7 days a week. It is a time for us to pattern our Maker, to pattern our God, that we are to take a day in 7 and set it apart and make it holy. Not only is it a creation ordinance, we see it commanded in his word in the Ten Commandments, as we mentioned in Exodus 20, 8 through 11, and also restated again in Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. And in Deuteronomy 5, God says, "Observe the Sabbath day. Keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day, that's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant or your male servant may rest, as well as you." Isn't that just kind? Again, he's telling you just to take a break, to stop working, to set it apart. He says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Not only is it a creation ordinance, it's an ordinance to remember salvation. He's telling the people of Israel, "Remember how you were in bondage, enslaved, and I redeemed you and I brought you out, that I saved you from that evil Pharaoh. Remember all those things. Take a day. Remember who I am, your creator. Remember the redemption that I've given you." And all these things would be pointing us to Christ, who gives us ultimate rest, who gives us ultimate redemption, who gives us ultimate salvation. That after Christ's resurrection on the first day, which we celebrate today, that there was a great shift. Not only was it the last day of the week, now we celebrate it on the first day of the week, recognizing the rest that we have in Christ Jesus. We see the disciples doing this in the book of Acts, 1 Corinthians, and Revelation. So we see the Sabbath is meant to be a day of rest, something unique, not ordinary, a time to worship God, a time to remember his work of creation, and also his work of salvation. In Isaiah 58:13, he says, "If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, then I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob." The mouth of the Lord has spoken. He says, if you honor this day, you'll flourish. It's like you're riding on the heights of the earth. When we rest on the Sabbath, when we give our bodies time to just to heal and to refuel, when we give our souls time to focus and worship on God, God says, then it's like you're riding on the heights of the earth. And what does it mean for Jesus to say that he's the Lord of the Sabbath? He says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. It was an astonishing claim. He was saying that he is equal with God. Jesus is saying, I determine what the Sabbath is all about. This Palm Sunday, we remember the triumphal entry when Jesus rides into Jerusalem, declaring to the world, declaring to the city, I am the Messiah, I am the King, and the people are praising, and they're shouting, and the Pharisees, you got to get these people to stop. This is blasphemous. And he says, if I tell them to be silent, the whole creation's going to shout at this moment. Because right now, their God, their Savior, God in the flesh is right here riding in, and it's a pregnant moment of Jesus declaring, I am God here to rescue my people. Jesus says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He's saying, he is Lord, he is God, he is Creator, he is Messiah, he is King, he is God in the flesh, and he is to be honored. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Which leads us to our second point, that Sabbath rest is for our physical and spiritual renewal. We see in our text that on the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked and ate some of the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. And the Pharisee says, why are you doing this? It's unlawful for the Sabbath. And Jesus tells them the story. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? And those who were with him. He entered the house of God, the tabernacle, and he ate of the bread of presence, which is not lawful except for the priests to eat. And he gave it to those with them. During this time, the Pharisees and the scribes, they cared about the law. They wanted to obey the law, and they actually would sit down and try to figure out what were you allowed to do? What couldn't you do on the Sabbath? And they actually had, according to R.C. Sproul, over thousands of regulations. What you could or couldn't do. Could you imagine sitting there and just trying to figure out, can I carry this stick so far? How many steps am I allowed to take? Am I allowed to take a meal to somebody, or would that be considered work? They would put all these regulations that would just drain somebody, just worrying, am I breaking God's law right now by just caring for somebody or just eating a meal? And so they had this idea that Jesus and the disciples are going through the field and getting something to eat because they're hungry. And they're saying, you're breaking the law, and they weren't. So Jesus reminds them the story. It's a story of mercy, where David and his men, who were being attacked by Saul, they were being chased by Saul. And this David and his men are hungry, and there's nothing to eat except for the bread that only the priest was allowed to eat in the tabernacle. And so the priest at the time had to make a decision. Do I show acts of mercy and feed David and his people? Or do I just let him go hungry and starve? And so it's found in 1 Samuel 21 where Abimelech does. He feeds David, and Jesus says, that's good. That's good. I desire mercy. I desire sacrifice. I don't want the stringent ceremonial laws. Jesus and the disciples weren't breaking any of God's rule. They were hungry. And Jesus cared for their physical well-being, and he said, eat. Sabbath is a day to rest, to put aside our unnecessary labors, to put aside our ordinary labors, and to rest. We're not the Energizer Bunny. We can't keep going and going and going. We need physical renewal. We need to take time to eat. We need to take time to rest. We live in an age with our phones and with internet. It's like the mind can't shut off. And he's saying just rest. Not only physically, but rest and refuel spiritually. That we need to feed on God, to feed on Jesus, who is the bread of life. Sadly, for many of us, Sunday worship is the one day of the week where we get actual focused time with God. And he's saying, don't neglect that. Yeah, add more to it. You should be studying and praying every day of the week. But let Sabbath day, as we gather together as his family, be a time of spiritual renewal as we exalt the God who saves us, who created us, and redeems us. Jesus says to you, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It's a reminder each Sunday when we come to worship, we come to Jesus and give him our cares, our sins, our burdens, and let him take them away. Be refueled for the week ahead. Sabbath rest is for our physical and spiritual renewal. And ask yourself, are you seeking that? Are you striving for that? Are you experiencing that? Again, Jesus says, come to me and you'll find rest. And lastly, Sabbath rest is for mercy, for healing and restoration. And these things point us to the glory that's coming and the rest. In verse 6 in our text, it says, on another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and he was teaching. A man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he rose and he stood there. Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or destroy it? And after looking around at all of them, he said, stretch out your hand. And his hand was restored. They couldn't get their minds off of their man-made regulations of what they could or couldn't do on the Sabbath. Jesus could have waited till Sunday. He could have waited till Monday. He could have waited till Tuesday to heal this man. He could have waited. But he wanted to teach us. He wanted to teach them. You can imagine being that man just sitting in worship, just wanting to hear the word of God and sing the Psalms. And Jesus says, come here. This man with a withered hand, probably painful, couldn't be able to use it forever. How long? Those who are familiar with arthritis or just the everyday pains that we have in our bodies, right? This man has no rest because he hurts. Jesus says, come here. You can imagine the Pharisees. I'm not sure what's going on in your mind to think that a miraculous healing is breaking the Sabbath. But they really thought that. The only thing I could think of, these are people that must not have ever felt what it feels like to struggle with continual pain. Right? We all know it. We all experience it in some form or fashion, whether it's the headaches, whether it's the emotional stress, anxiety, whether it's just physical abnormalities, is exhausting. It's just completely exhausting. And what more glorious way to express what the Sabbath is all about for Jesus to heal this man? He had rest. He had restoration. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Sabbath rest is for mercy, it's for healing, and Jesus' whole earthly ministry, when he's doing these miracles, it's an appetite and a taste of what is to come when he returns and sin is no more, death is no more, and tears are no more. This is the rest we're longing for. And Jesus is teaching them that Sabbath rest is pointing us to rest. That Sabbath rest is meant to do good for others. That when we receive the blessings of God, we can go out and bless others. It's for mercy. It's for healing. It's for restoration. And it's found in the person and work of Christ alone. Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, if you want something to read today, it's a good word on rest. Hebrews 4:1 says, "Therefore, while we have the promise of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have fallen or failed to reach it." He says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest." Go after Jesus. Go after Jesus. With all the hurts, with all the doubts, with all the sins, all those things that Satan says that you're no good, that you can't go to the God who made you, you ignore that and you go to Jesus and you cast those cares, those anxieties, those sins on him, and you find rest for your souls. Tim Chalice, he had a great article that talks about the Lord's Day. I want to share his thoughts with you. He says, the longer I live out of this Christian life, the more I see my desperate need of the Lord's Day. It once seemed like a day I could take or leave. He says, I've come to see that it's God's goodness in giving it, and we ignore it at our peril. He says, and there's many of these, you who are taking notes, he says, the Lord's Day is water for the parched runner. Life is a race that leaves us weary. And like stations along a marathon route provide water that will hydrate the body until the next interval, the Lord's Day offers spiritual refreshment to keep us going. The Lord's Day is a meal for the hungry. As Christians, we are pilgrims, people moving purposely through this life toward the heavenly city. And the Lord's Day gives us sustenance. It provides us what we need that we cannot generate from ourselves to continue the journey. The Lord's Day is rest for the weary worker. It provides a period of rest from our day-to-day labors. We can just trust and rest in God. It's a celebration to the sorrowful. The Lord's Day invites us to the weekly celebration of victory in Christ. The Lord's Day is the reunion to the lonely. Jesus warned that many of those who followed him would have to at the expense of family relationships and the cost of friendships. And we get to join together with this diverse family together to worship God and encourage one another. The Lord's Day is an education to the ignorant. As we hear the Word of God, as we learn from the Word of God, we are trained in the Word of God. It's training ground for the spiritually gifted. It's assurance for the guilty sinner. And it's rescue to the unforgiven. As we sit under the preaching of the gospel and hear that there's forgiveness of sins for each of his people. He says, as life progresses, I more and more find the Lord's Day is not just the starting point of a new week. It's the center point of my existence. I cannot, I will not, and could not make it through life without it. Water for the parched runner, meal for the hungry pilgrim, rest for the weary. Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, wants to give you refreshment and renewal on his day of rest. Don't let it be a burden. Seek it. Rest in Christ. Let it be a blessing set apart that drives all of your life. That Christ is Creator, that he is my Savior, that he's my King, and he's coming back as we long for that ultimate rest to come. Seek it in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, you know us well. You know exactly what we need. Thank you for bringing us. Thank you for pouring your Spirit into our hearts and our minds to know that there's so much more than just the ordinary mundane. Lord Jesus, we thank you for entering into this world to do what was necessary to save us from our sins, to give us a life, to give us a hope through all the struggles and the trials, knowing there's so much more to come. Bless your people, even as we struggle now physically and spiritually. We thank you for this taste of the rest that's to come in all glory. Renew us, refuel us to be those lights wherever you call us to be. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.